This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. اعلموا عباد الله أن أحسن الكلام كلام الله تبارك وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد عباد الله. My dear brothers and sisters, bringing positive change in difficult time is not that easy. And many people, when talking about positive change, they always think of someone else taking care of that. Because for them, their circumstances never ideal to make that positive change. We've spoken about this subject many times during the khutbah. We spoke about what does it mean to be positive in difficult times, how you should do your part in difficult times. We spoke about always trying to make some sense of achievement according to your capacity and never attach yourself to the results. Instead, always attach yourself to the effort. You're responsible to do your part. That's it. As a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make tests for us, sometimes in our favor, not necessarily all the time. But we always attach ourselves to doing our part. Many people, they wait very, very long. And when the wait is too long for them, they lose hope that they will ever change or even become agents of positive change during this lifetime. But look at the examples from the Quran and the sirah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam, before he came out, before he became who he became afterwards as the treasurer of Egypt, before he became such famous and such bringing such impact and change in the entire actual region, not just in Egypt, he spent in prison a few years for no crime that he committed other than just being handsome. Spending several years in prison, you might consider this an idle time, wasted opportunity. He spent several years in prison doing what? But the opportunity came one day for him when the king come looking for help, and they found out help with Yusuf alayhi salam. The moment he stood in front of that king, he told him, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض. He said, listen, I can take care of things for you. Make me the treasurer of Egypt. I'll take care of it for you. But before he got that opportunity, and he captured that opportunity, he had to wait. And that wait, even though we consider this to be just waiting for nothing, probably just for maturity. Well, maybe for the right time. Probably for the golden opportunity when it comes that you never miss. Look at Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam, he spent 10 years in the desert. Doing what? Shepherd. Going after sheep with his staff, feeding the sheep and taking them from right to left and up and down and so on. 10 years. And then after that, on his way back to Egypt, what was the call that he got? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, Ya Musa, إِنِّي اصْطَفَيْتُكَ عَلَى النَّاسِ بِرِسَالَاتِي وَبِكَلَامِي فَخُذْ مَا آتَيْتُكَ كُمْ مِنَ الشَّاكِرِينَ. Allah called Musa subhanahu wa ta'ala, says, Ya Musa, I'm selecting you. I'm choosing you over all these people so that you carry my message and the precious words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah spoke to him directly without turjuman, without interpreter, in a manner that suits his majesty. So he made him a very special person. But before that, where was Musa, Jama'ah? In the desert. You might consider this time idle time, like a waste of time. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no time is wasted if you capture that moment when it comes to you. Look at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was 40 years old when he received Iqra, Bismi Rabbika alladhi khalaq. Imagine, lived 40 years looking for the truth. But then when Allah sent him Iqra, he spent 23 years, half the time he lived before, that changed the face of history. So it doesn't matter how long you've been waiting. It's how much effort you put in the time that you have when that opportunity comes to you. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ did. And that's what we all should be doing. You might say, but they were anbiya. They were messengers. Well, they were sent as example to us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us that he, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was actually a great example for us to follow. So we follow his example. We see what he did, how he managed things, how he dealt with difficulties, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You say, our time is very difficult. Well, was it more difficult than his time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When he was sent to his people believed in the stones and the rocks and the mountains, and they believed in the trees more than they believed in anything else. To come and convince them to believe in something other than that, that'd be like a miracle. And a miracle happened. It wasn't overnight though. It took a while. But eventually, it did happen. Now my question for you, how long have you been living in this life? What is the impact that you're leaving behind you when you live and depart from this world? Al-Rafi rahimahullah ta'ala one time said, قَالَ إِذَا لَمْ تَزِدْ شَيْئًا عَلَى الدُّنْيَا كُنْتَ أَنْتَ زَائِدًا عَلَيْهَا. That if you haven't added anything, if you did not add anything extra in this life, you will count as extra on it. Like you being just an extra on the side. So what is it exactly that you're leaving behind when you leave? You might say, well, I don't know, my circumstances are not where they should be. You know, when it comes to the word opportunity, if you look at it in the dictionary, the word opportunity, it means actually a set of circumstances. Set of circumstances that would make something possible. Set of circumstances that will make something possible. A lot of people, they take opportunity exactly to that letter, which means they wait until something possible to happen. They don't realize that opportunity can be manufactured, that you can steer, you know, the events of your life with good planning and effort, and then tawakkul, and have your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can make a lot of things happen. And I've seen this a lot. You know, on a personal level, reading in books of history, in many, many actually ways, things can happen. But subhanAllah, you need to be smart. I need to put some effort in there and understand what you could do in this life. You see, when it comes to opportunities, they're just like this weather, ya jama'ah. It's an opportunity. What kind of opportunity can you get from this? Some people, when they saw the snow, they probably just started getting depressed. Oh my God, I'm not going to do anything today. I'm going to stay this or that because it's getting too cold and we're not used to it. You're afraid to drive. Other people, they might take this as a golden opportunity for them, whatever that is. But you look into it and you can see something positive that might come out of this. So opportunities, when they come, they do not necessarily look 100% obvious. You need some time to look through things so you can find that opportunity for yourself. When opportunities come, they don't wait. They're not slow. They pass by and they're not going to wait for you until you make up your mind. But you need to be smart enough to see it and take it and capture it. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala was reported that he said, قَالَ انْتَهِزُوا فُرَصَ الْخَيْرِ فَإِنَّهَا تَمُرُّ مَرَّ السَّحَابِ. You know, capture these golden opportunities, these good opportunities that come your way, because they pass like the clouds. Which means as they travel, they don't stop for anybody, do they? They won't stop. And that's, I guess, the exact same thing to you as well. And when these opportunities come, because many people, they always, you know, sit down and whine about their circumstances and why this person did better than me and this person did, you know, more than me and this and that, subhanAllah. They sit down, they start whining and crying about it. You see, when these opportunities, they come equally for everybody. But people, they make the decisions to capture them or not. So what did you do in your life? To sit down there and just keep whining about an opportunity that you probably, you lost. And when these opportunities, they go away, most likely, they never come back. That's part of our test. This is part of our test. So we need to learn a few things about opportunities. When it comes to success in any opportunity, you need to realize it's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many people, they think that success is something like, you know, it's instant. You're just going to have something, will just be overnight. That's a myth, but it's still a test. Because some people might be tested with an instant success. What are you going to do with it? Some people, their success will be delayed. Like Yusuf alayhi salam or Musa alayhi salam. It took a while. It's still part of their test as well. But again, it doesn't matter how long they waited. It's how they did when that opportunity came their way. When it comes to being successful, we have to understand that actually you have to travel a road that not so many people travel on, which means you're going to need to be like an outliner, someone who is not of the ordinary people. You're going to have to make some efforts in there. Because that requires from you to take, again, a longer probably path that will get you there, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And learn that you must take an action for something to happen. Otherwise, if you don't take action, nothing will happen. Let's see from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam how he handled opportunities and what did he do in order to achieve that success we've seen from his life sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I mention this for us because I know we are actually going to be living a very difficult time. We don't just see it here in America, by the way. If you ask people who are all over the world, everybody is now looking at the future to be kind of like gloomy. They look at it as getting darker and darker. They don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And everybody's just going to be coming now skeptical of how we're going to go, how we're going to go about things. It is going to be difficult, there's no doubt about it. But we can always, inshallah ta'ala, benefit from this time to create the best opportunity. And here are a few things we learn from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some habits that he adopted or he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he showed in his practice and his da'wah that will give us hope in how we can seize these good opportunities, inshallah, in life. The first thing, you need to pay attention. Pay attention and stay alert. You see, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was paying attention to everything around him in Mecca and in Medina. He knew what was going on around him, sallallahu alaihi. He was paying attention to the news even. So when things happened between the Persians and the Romans, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was kind of like, again, he was kind of bringing the attention of the people to this. And Allah revealed to him that they shall prevail after that few years from now. And it did happen. And when the Sahaba complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca how difficult their time was, how difficult their life has become, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam suggested to them to go to Abyssinia. Why? Because he was paying attention. Then in Abyssinia there was a just king. You should go there to this man and you should worship, inshallah, freely with Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was paying attention to these things. Sometimes he would pay attention to little details. If you read the story of the Hudaybiyah, the agreement that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam signed with the Meccans when he came for the Umrah, and they refused to let the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam come in. They start sending him one delegation after the other, one delegate after the other one. And if you read the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, every time a man comes in, he would give a remark and a comment on this person to the Sahaba around him. So when someone says, this man, he's a very religious person, he's very pious, make sure to show him, you know, the animals and the sacrifice. He will change his heart. And it did change his heart. Another man came, the Prophet says, this man is actually fasiq. He's no good. Which means there is no need for us to negotiate much with him. He was paying attention to details. And when Suhail ibn Amr came in, the Prophet he says, they sent you Suhail, sahula amrukum, it's going to get easy now. You pay attention to some tiny details sometimes. It would worth it. And wallah, in da'wah, you should always pay attention to these things. I mean, look around you. Pay attention to the people around you. Pay attention to your workplace. When you drive around, when you go and you shop, pay attention. Because it's very crucial for you. You might see that opportunity in every possible moment that you go through. Maybe the person sitting next to you on the plane can be an opportunity for you. Pay attention to these little details and hopefully you can see a good opportunity that come out of it, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. Develop that habit of paying attention and staying alert. The second thing, just like we're asking you to pay attention, you need to understand that people pay attention too. What does that exactly mean to me? That means to me, I need to think of every word and every action I do as important. Some of us, we say things in public that we say, whatever, who cares? No, you should care. As a person of mission in this life, you should really care. You do something, you need to pay attention to it. Because your action, your word might be magnified 10 times. Why? Because some people might take opportunity of it that will run against you. So just like you need to pay attention, you develop the habit also of making sure to always consider every word and every work that you do something that is very important. So develop this habit of making sure to pay attention to what you say and what you do. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that. لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَتَفْعَلُونَ. Why do you say something and you work against it? So basically you don't do what you preach. So you make sure that everything you say and you do is very important to you. The third thing, you need also to understand and need to pay attention and be aware of the potential that your actions and your words have an impact on other people. You see, the Prophet ﷺ, كان أكثر الناس تبسماً. He was most smiling of all people. Every time people meet him, he would smile, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even he said to us, تبسمك في وجه أخيك صدقة. When you smile in someone's face, that's an act of charity. Why is that? Because he knew the impact of smiling. You could even see that in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was, you know, around the people, and people come to see who that man was, they would say, قَالَ وَاللَّهِ Just like the story of Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was a rabbi in Medina. When he heard the people talking about this man who claims to be a prophet, he went to see him. And then when he went there and he looked at him, then he said to himself, قَالَ وَاللَّهِ مَا هَذَا بِوَجْهِ كَذَّابِ. This cannot be the face of a liar. There is no way this is an imposter. And he gave his shahada radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Your behavior, that's what it means. Your behavior will mean a lot. And make sure that you keep yourself at a higher standard of character. Even if you claim that you're not at that level, but you know what? Again, it's an opportunity. When you hold yourself to a higher standard of character and akhlaq, you can seize a lot of golden opportunities and make great change in the life of many, many people, including yours. The fourth thing that I want you to pay attention from the life of the Prophet ﷺ is recognizing that these golden opportunities for bringing positive change in difficult time in your life and other people's lives, they're actually all over the place and they're waiting for you to come and discover them. Where did we learn this from? The Prophet ﷺ, when he was commissioned to become the da'iyah and the messenger of Allah, do you think he went in his house, depending on his reputation and his lineage, for people to come and ask and just get that wisdom from him? No way. He was going every single day to the public places, like the markets. And whenever there was like a convention, and there was like an expo in the desert, he would go out there. He would go and present himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the people. And he was looking for these opportunities. He wasn't waiting for anything to happen. He was actually going there to see if he can make something happen, salawatullahi wa sallam alayhi. And I want you to do that as well. Don't wait for something to happen to change around you. You go and look for opportunities to change. If you get a chance to speak with someone while you're waiting for your cup of coffee to be presented to you in a coffee place, make a conversation with them. Take an opportunity. If you see something wrong happens in front of you, I think it can change, you can say something about it, do it. Just don't wait for the opportunity to come. You can create that opportunity by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made himself magnet. He made himself resourceful to the people. Basically, he was well known as a trustworthy man. That's why his reputation was what? As-sadiqul amin. A trustworthy person, a truthful person. Are you that magnet? In your workplace, when people want some help, do they come to you? Do they come to you because they know that you help, that you can provide service and help and so on? I know a lot of us in a competitive world like ours right now, they hold on of helping other people because they think if I help them, they might actually pass me to the next level in promotion and I'll stay where I am. You know what? If this is what you're after in this life, that's fine. But if you have a higher goal, I guarantee you, always having the higher, you know, manners and akhlaq will have a good result in this dunya before even the akhirah. But you're going to have a trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that regard. So remember to build that reputation to become resourceful for the people who are around you. Next, whenever you see an opportunity, count that opportunity and make sure that you take it regardless how major or minor that opportunity might be. Some people, when something comes by, they think it's too little to start with. Therefore, they pass it and they let go of it to wait for the bigger one. If this job is you're dreaming about is not coming your way, just take whatever is available right now and then move on to the next level. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a man such as Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, he comes from a tribe called Ghifar. Ghifar was a very tough tribe in the Arabian Peninsula. He came into the city of Mecca trying to look for this man who was calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he was afraid to expose himself and ask publicly, otherwise he might be beaten because of that. which he did actually, you know, got that that chance with the people in Mecca. But when he became Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ told him, he says, I want you to go back home and wait for me. When you hear that I prevailed, come and join us. So Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala, he left the Prophet ﷺ, but before he left, he says, you know what? I'm not leaving to Ghaffar until I go and pronounce my Islam in public. And he did. The people of Mecca pulled him down. They were beating him down to the ground until Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he came. He says, man, this is from Ghaffar. This guy from Ghaffar, which means be careful, you're going to lose your business with them. And for that, just because of this, the people stopped beating Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. But what I'm saying here is the Prophet ﷺ didn't see this man to be insignificant. No, he said, listen, he's become Muslim now, go back home. When we prevail, come. Your time is going to come for us. Maybe not now, but it will come. So whatever opportunity that you see, don't say, I don't know what I'm going to benefit from this. Just do it and take care of it. The benefit might come actually sometime later. And finally, whenever an opportunity comes to you, one quality that is very crucial is to be decisive and making the right decisions. Or at least what you believe to be the right decision. The outcome is not in your hand. It's in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the greatest examples that we see from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of decision making is the hijrah. The hijrah, the migration from Mecca to Medina. For many people, leaving Mecca, leaving your own hometown to another country, or another actually place, is just like, you know, kind of subhanahu, removing your soul out of your body. But that decision was crucial and needs to be done. It took a while. It took actually about 3 years before the decision was made. He first met the six young men whom the Prophet saw an opportunity with them. Maybe it wasn't that big at the time. But you know what? He gave them da'wah. They accepted Islam. They went to Medina. They came back the following year with 12 people. The year after with 80 plus, and said, we have 100 more there waiting for you, Ya Rasulullah. And then the Prophet ﷺ made that decisive decision. Time for the hijrah. So as we see here, there are a lot of opportunities come your way, and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi as an example for us. Bringing positive change is not just a matter of opportunity you wait for to happen so you can become, you know, the person who brings that change. No, you manufacture that change. But you're going to have to learn the skill of looking and seizing these opportunities. May Allah subhanahu make us among those who listen to the speech and follow the best of it. أَقُولُ قَوْلِي هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمُ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ثم بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, when we talk about positive change, even on a personal level, doesn't have to be in da'wah level, even in your personal level, because subhanAllah, educated Muslims and successful Muslims in business and in life, they can make great influence for the entire community and probably the entire society if they've done everything the proper way, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So on personal level, even if you have a small opportunity, don't just look down at that opportunity. Seize it. Probably that will grow to become big, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. I know a personal story that I have had with a friend. This friend, when we left Kuwait and we went to Jordan right after the war back in 1991. And I remember walking with another friend of ours in the marketplace, in the middle of the street, subhanAllah. And suddenly we see this guy. He was very well, nice dressed, mashallah. But he was actually pushing a cart of nuts, selling nuts in the streets. I'm just like, we look at each other, me and my friend, like, oh man, like, what is he doing? We felt shy that he is putting himself in position like this, and he's not dressed for the occasion. He was actually, you know, kind of overdressed for it. So we came and we talked. He says, well, what are you doing? He says, what am I doing? I'm selling nuts. Like, could have found something else. And we were young at the time, but he, subhanAllah, he saw an opportunity we didn't see at the time. Later on, we realized that this young man, what he was doing, he was just testing the market. He saw an opportunity, he tested the market, and then a few weeks later, he purchased 4 more of these carts, and now he is hiring other people, and he was even paying for certain locations for these carts because he knew after testing the market himself for so long what works and what doesn't. And he knew how much it brings back to him. There's the profits and so on. And soon, you know, a few years after that, you go back there right now to see him. MashaAllah. He's one of the great business people in that area. Not selling cards. He's a provider right now. He's actually one of the great merchants in that area. But he saw an opportunity. We didn't see it. He saw it. And he's a very successful person and a pious person. So what I'm saying is that whatever opportunity comes your way, don't look down at it. You don't know where the khair is going to come. Allahu ta'ala alam. What I'm asking from you, inshallah ta'ala, today, to remember, maybe you had to wait 10 years like Musa alayhi salam did before your opportunity comes your way. Maybe you had to wait several years like Yusuf alayhi salam. But when the opportunity comes your way, you need to seize that. I want you to go home and sit down and think about it. What is your calling? What is it? You waited for so long. So what is it today that you can do that will make positive change around you for yourself, for your family, and for those who are actually surrounding you? اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكي أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها مولاها عباد الله إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وارض اللهم عن خلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان.